a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Unquestion. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
It's a new year. Does your home need a new look? RGS Exteriors can give your home that look that you want with the stucco, brick, vinyl, or James Hardy siding. Get that new look for 2022 by calling them 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors and Construction. Scott, as a quarterback, I feel like quarterbacks do less trash talking because people are all coming at you. Is that the case for you? I mean, we know Aaron Rodgers has the penchant for talking trash to guys, but he wins most of those games. What was the trash talk game like for you personally when you played?
Well, see, you wouldn't talk to people in a way where you would incite, like, anger.
Mm.
Like, because you're not the biggest guy out there. There's a lot of much bigger guys, and they're highly motivated to hurt you. You don't need to encourage them, but how you trash talk is you play against them trying to intimidate you, and so you never show like, yeah, you got me. So you may pop up off the ground after you got hit really hard and say, oh man. Bring it on. Is that's all you got today? Bring it on. Like you, that's it. That's kind of the type of, you know, you don't want to encourage anger, but you just don't, you want to show a face of toughness, because if you show any kind of that they're getting to you or that they might be intimidating you, because that's all they try to do. They try to intimidate you. They try to, you know, whatever. And you know, and so you just might even compliment them in a backhanded kind of way, like, oh, that was pretty good. That was a nice hit. That was a good play. You know, keep working hard. And they don't know how to take that.
Yeah, and you know, I would think that everybody, there's an interesting, you know, effect you can have on trash talk, you know, kind of the talk to the hand thing or scoreboard, whatever it might be, where you get into your opponent's head. I mean, that's part of the deal. I mean, as an athlete, you look for the competitive edge wherever you can find it. You talk about that all the time where you're like, hey, if there's a thing that will add a couple of points to the game or maybe get in that opponent's head just a little bit to break their stride, something, it gives you that competitive edge. See, you're going to go after it. And that's something,
yeah,
that's something that I think trash talk, it can be absolute. It can go. There's some guys who it just doesn't affect at all. They don't even think about it. They're so focused. They're so dialed in. This ESPN article was pretty interesting. And, of course, it came a day after Joe Ingles gets tossed out of a game, which I brought up earlier in the show is not something I was a huge fan of, considering that the team needed him in the game more than you know, they needed him giving lip back to the referee. When you're short a bunch of guys, when you have a bunch of 10-day contracts and 2-way guys coming in, maybe keep yourself on the floor kind of no matter the cost. But the whole article
wasn't trash talking. Joe was
no.
He was trash talk to officials.
Well, I know, I was going to say
that's like stupidity.
It was potty mouth talk is what it was. So, yeah. but Joe is good at getting in guys' heads, and he uses that as part of a deal. He said Jimmy Butler, the whole article that ESPN did starts off with how Jimmy Butler and Joe Ingles basically had to have like a treaty at the top of one of their games that they played earlier this year. It was like, hey, look, and it was all started by Jimmy Butler, who was like, look, we've been clashing, as they put it, quick wits, sharp tongues, competitive fires for Butler and Ingles had been clashing for years, and a powder keg sparked early in Ingles' career when he tried to blow up a screen that Butler had set. Ingles ended up being – he was upset at this guy for a long time. It says, Butler was staring at me like he was bloody about to beat the blank out of me, Ingles recalled. And Butler came up and said, hey, we got to end this. We keep losing money. You and I keep getting technicals, or we get tossed in these games that you and I are in. But Joe is known for being one of these foul-mouthed trash talkers. That's part of his game, and it seems to work. And for some guys, it works better than others. Others, I mean, Joe Ingles seems like the guy where he will get in your head. He will rattle you, and it's part of the game for some of these guys.
I don't think that's why they do it.
What do they do it for?
I don't think it's to get into another guy's head.
You think it's just to get themselves motivated?
I think it absolutely. It's 100% for guys to say, because when you put it out there, you've spewed the words. You have to live by those words. You know, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And I think a lot of guys talk the talk, so it makes them walk the walk. So and it forces them. You know, and I'll go back to Michael Jordan. He created these scenarios, and I don't think he did it because he was like, you know, because you would say, well, guys have to, if you have to resort to like this subterfuge, you know, to beat someone, it says that maybe you're not good enough. Maybe it's a sign of insecurity.
Well, in Slow Mo Joe's case, he's got one. I mean, he's a threat from beyond the arc. He's not an exceptional defender.
Well, he has his limitations.
Yeah. And so for him, it's like, hey, add that on top of the stuff that he has and give it. And it might, if it gives him even just a little bit. Look, when a guy with an Australian accent starts throwing the F-bombs at you during a game, it might rattle you a little bit if you're not used to
it. It doesn't even sound like a swear word. Like, you swear in an accent. It's just...
No. It's like, for sure. It's like my wife is not
like
a big...
Sounds like you're ordering at a French restaurant.
I know. My wife is not a huge fan of the cuss words in a bunch of movies, you know?
Yeah.
But we can watch Ted Lasso because it's fake swearing, according to her. Yeah, it's not the real. It's not real swearing. It's English swearing. I'm like, it's the same bad words. She's like, yeah, but... What a cute show, you know. So there's context, obviously, but I mean, in the case of Joe Ingles, you've got a guy who has this reputation of being kind of he'll go after guys. He gets in their ears. He gets that wry smile on his face, and Butler, after all of this, they kind of come to the conclusion. He says, "Let's bury the hatchet here." And he says, Butler said, "After that, since then, we've been good. He's a good dude." And then they kind of go on and explain that the NBA. And many professional sports are regarded as much friendlier as leagues. Like, obviously, the fights don't happen nearly like they used to. And
they won't let them fight anymore.
They don't let them fight. And they just don't talk trash as much as they used to. And yeah. I think that guys are, one, the era of guys not shaking hands, going through the line, doesn't happen anymore. They all come together and hug and laugh after the games. They sign each other's jerseys. They swap their jerseys. Something I know you're not a huge fan of. Is it taken away from the competitive spirit of it?
Well, no,
to say
I'd
that
like
trash talking.
Don't get me wrong.
I know you love a jersey.
No,
but
I'm just saying, take the jersey.
But if trash talking is going away, and it's become less and less of a thing in all these sports,
my mom
would say that that's nice, but does that make it to where is the actual competitive nature of the game changed then?
I think no. I think trash talking still happens. I don't think that changes. I think we're in a weird place just everywhere, and where it's like, man, you get canceled if you say the wrong thing. And I think people are just so weird and so conscious and so subconscious. I know we are on our show of, boy, you better be careful what you say because you could be out of a job. You could have everyone in the world hate you and they just say, you know, be gone with you. And so that could play into it a little bit because I'm perplexed. And I'm perplexed by, like, how the the players are actually going into the fans in the stands and calling them out and just saying, look, your tone and the words you're saying are unacceptable. And people are getting kicked out of arenas, and people are, you know, and this was something, and I don't understand this, the where the fans have been given a license to come to your work and just, you know, just be vile and the things that they can say to you and they can do to you. Now, in my era, it was like, yeah, you just, you know, it's just the fans. They're just blowing off some steam.
How do you tell Detroit fans to dial it back a little bit? This is decades of pent-up frustration, not just with opposing teams coming in, but with their own team.
So even if it's pent-up frustration, does it give a person the right to come to your work and like scream and yell at you? I mean, what if you're a surgeon and you're in doing surgery and people are like, that guy is not making that incision in the correct place? And, like, I would never go to this doctor because, you know, I mean, he just wears funny clothes and he's...
This guy's suture game is weak.
Yeah. Like, where did he learn that? I mean, he can only use one hand while he's...
Although, you know what's funny is now, I mean, my father-in-law's a physician. He's always like, yeah, it's funny because now there's a weird customer service aspect to it because people will go on, like, Yelp and be like, oh, I hated this person. They didn't give me the medicine that I wanted. You know, like he goes, it's turned into this weird thing where instead of just like giving care, oh, we have feedback. Scott, we can give negative feedback to anybody on anything now. We have online reviews for everything. Everything. And yeah, I mean, people get up. People will text. Listen, I've been doing radio 18 years in this market. It doesn't matter what you do. You have people who will say, blank you, I hate you, for no reason, by the way. I mean, listen, there are people who I worked with who were reporters. They were 100% just reporting things. And at the end of a report, they wouldn't even be done. Somebody would tweet at them and be like, oh, just like that reporter, I heard your tone in there. Blank you, buddy. And you're going, these guys don't even have opinions about it. They're just doing the story.
But see, I hear those. Like, yeah, I know people in our show are like,
yeah, blankety blank.
You know, I can't listen to 5 minutes of those guys. Yeah. They're awful. And you know what? You know what? I want to jump through the screen and get them. Actually, I really don't, because I know what our job is. I know our job is we're here to give insight. We're here to be entertaining.
Hey, if people disagree with you and they hate you, fine.
It's part of my job. I don't expect people to agree with me in my job.
No. And back in the day,
I mean, I'm right, Alex.
There used to be.
You can disagree with Bright.
Oh my gosh,
all you want.
When I was like 24 and like hosting a show at night on KSL, I remember somebody getting after me, and I was like, "Come down to the station right now." You know, that's the way I took every negative comment. You know, about stories we do. You're so dead wrong on this. Oh, yeah? And then they'd say the most foul things to you. I'd go home and I'd go, honey, I don't get paid enough to get told to blankety blank myself, you know? I mean, like, insane stuff. And then these NBA guys, we just do the whole, yeah, but that's the price you pay as a kajillionaire. You just have to put up with that.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah.
That is not a thing.
You can't ever say anything.
That is not a thing. And I'm glad that the players are getting back. I remember at some point I was with somebody at a Jazz game years ago, and we were sitting like third row, and it was one of those games. It was the Miami Heat. It happened to be Dwayne Wade. This is what's funny, and this guy that I'm with at this game, he has given the business to Dwayne Wade. Like, nothing personal or mean or vile or anything. He was just it's kind of the old like Daryl Strawberry, like Daryl. Like, he was just kind of doing this guy. And it was during like a media timeout, and he was like right in front of where we were sitting, and this guy, and finally Dwayne Wade had it, and goes, dude, you live in Salt Lake City, look at your life, you live in Salt Lake City. Now how the turntables, right? with Dwayne Wade, now that he of
the
course
the turntables.
Well, it's how the tables have turned. But I'm just saying, this is how things are now, where, you know, obviously he's got a stake of things here in Salt Lake. But I remember he said that. He gave it right back to this guy. And I laughed and I loved it. I like when the players would get back at fans. Now, when fans start to get to the point where you embarrass our entire state, and it's happened here locally within the last couple of years, right? when you embarrass our entire fan base because you say stupid stuff that other players, you got to look, and we have to face the criticism of that's the way those people are in Utah. Then you know what? You've done all of us a disservice. So that's your trash talk isn't trash talk. And fan talk isn't trash talk, by the way. The between players stuff, I love it. Fan to player talk is just dumb. I used to think it was amazing. Like, I'd try to get myself involved as a kid, you know. You'd try to get into these players' heads, you know. I'd yell stuff at guys who were playing in the outfield when I was at Mariners games when I was a kid. And you just hoped that they would turn around and say something because you get their attention, you know. And now...
Well, but as a fan, though, you feel like you're a part of the team.
Yes.
And you feel like if you can... comment if you can kind of impact the other team.
I'm helping this whole cause.
It's the whole 12th man theory.
It's
a real thing.
Yeah.
And so I just think people, whether they're inebriated or whether they're just blowing off steam or what, for whatever reason, you know, maybe they're just quick witted. Who knows? They just feel that they have to make comments that in a normal situation, if you were sitting down next to a person, you would never say that. Never say that.
And for whatever reason,
because it's sports, we just feel like we can.
Well, and you can. I mean, the reality is you can say a lot of stuff at these games, short of, you know, being racially insensitive or just flat-out vulgar. You know, I'm a big fan of, like, trying to get these guys' attention at the foul line and getting them to shoot short on a free throw, whatever. I can't remember who it was the other day, but they had the Raptors mascot removed, or a mascot removed from the arena, right? Because there was nobody else in the crowd.
Mascot.
Well, who was it, Jared? Who was it? Oh yeah, it was Devin Booker. He had the Raptors mascot removed from the crowd because he was the old, there was no crowd. It was just the Raptor up in the thing, like trying to wave, trying to get his attention on free throw. And then Devin Booker goes, "Get that guy out of here." They remove him. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, grow up, man. Figure it out. BYU, they had like the hypnotizing signs up. Those swirls going at those guys behind the backboard. Remember the guy, the dude under the hoop at the Jazz games with the megaphone, and then he'd throw it up in the air. He would say wild stuff to the guy at the free throw line. Remember that, Scott? He had the megaphone. He'd yell. It was like the doctor or whatever his name.
That guy.
He would yell at the megaphone, and then he'd throw it up in the air as soon as the guy would shoot for years. Anyway, there's certain ways to be a part of the game, then there's certain ways you shouldn't be a part of the game. Talking trash between players has gone down significantly, and I'm okay with that because the play has actually gotten better. We are at the highest level of athleticism and ability in the sports world that we've ever been. No offense to you.
But, I would agree.
But the, you know.
It
always gets better.
Yeah, I mean, guys in the 50s and 60s, they're terrible.
I know. They go after the game and they're all, anyway, I got to head back to the
to my job
during the week as a mechanic.
I sell cars.
I work in the factory. Remember how we're the Green Bay Packers? It's because I actually pack meat during the week. That's why. Anyway, all right, I'm going to take a break.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.